welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, good morning. We're going to go ahead actually this morning, and we're going to begin a two-part series that we started last week, and we're going to revisit the scripture we looked at last week in Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So as we looked at, last week, we realized that, we've got a battle down here. It's not flesh and blood, but there's a battle. We're not wrestling against people, but we're wrestling. We're wrestling against things that we can't see with our natural eyes, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. But we looked at something, too, the fact that, we're not just wrestling arbitrarily, and the powers and the principalities aren't just wrestling against us arbitrarily. They're on assignment. In other words, powers and principalities, it all goes back to wiles, schemes. In other words, the enemy messes with our mind because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy something. That's his agenda. And so, you might be fighting with something that makes you feel bad, but there's something bigger that the enemy has behind that. There's a wile, which means a scheme, a plot, craftiness. And so these things, again, powers and principalities, they're there for a reason. They're there to put something in your head. And like we said, they're not flesh and blood, which means they can just hit that thing over and over for 10 years, 20 years. They don't get tired. We get tired. Depending on how we handle them, we can get worn out. And then eventually, after so many years, finally cave and break, and because the way we wrestle. If we try to wrestle in a flesh and blood manner against powers and principalities, we just get tired. They don't get tired. Yeah, they're evil spirits, but they're not mortal. They can just hang out and yell the same lie over and over and over and over again. So we realize that if we're going to beat this, we're going to have to do it the way God tells us to do. We got to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So we realize that there is a battle. We realize that there is conflict, and we have to do something here. We have to be able to engage this conflict. We got to be able to wrestle. And so as we look at another passage regarding this conflict, we see some great overall wisdom and guidance. James puts it this way. He says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." New Living, "So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So there's a humility there. So then surrender to God. Stand up to the devil. Resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. So we looked at the fact that before we can really engage in resisting, there's something that comes first. There's a submitting to God. There's a submitting to God. And we looked at the first three parts of the armor in that context, for the sake of this two-part series. We looked at the first three pieces of armor in the context of submitting yourself to God, preparing your heart. And that was the name of the first message was spiritual warfare, preparing for battle. As we said last week, you don't just run out into the battle, you prepare for battle. You kind of see what you're up against and you begin to prepare. And that's what we're called to do too. We're called to submit to God. And these are some different ways that we prepare our hearts for battle. We looked at having our waist girded with truth. And this is talking, we're talking here about being truthful with God. Like we looked at last week where it said, now it's the time to put on the armor of light and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts thereof. There's a time where you're being truthful, you're being candid, because there's some things in our life that we can be dealing with over and over and over again, and sometimes it can be self-inflicted. In other words, if I sow to the Spirit, if I sow to the flesh, I will of the flesh reap corruption. There could be things that I'm doing. There could be things that I'm watching or engaging in that's just, you know, sowing in a bad way that I'm just experiencing the consequence of it over and over again. So there's a part of being preparing our heart and coming clean before God, you know, and just saying, Lord, show me if there's something that I need to change, that I need to repent of. Like we kind of used the analogy last week, like you could have a, you know, middle of winter and turn up your furnace, and I don't care how good your furnace is, you will not get hot in that home if all the windows are open. That cold air, when it's 20 below, it's just going to come in and penetrate in. And so being honest with God regarding things in our life that could be bad is similar to closing a window. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if I'm keeping a window open that I know is causing me, well, say for example, I'm just using an example here. I'm having nightmares, and I can't seem to get away from these nightmares. No, I'm watching horror movies every night, all right? And I can't understand why I'm having nightmares, all right? This is where I'm just talking about being honest, kind of take that as an example, but could there be some things that we're dealing with that are self-inflicted? In other words, I could resist the devil all day long, but if I'm keeping the window open, that cold air is going to keep coming in. So, preparing our heart, it's being honest. Now, when I'm talking about this, as far as preparing for battle, it doesn't mean that, okay, maybe there is an area. Maybe there is something that I'm engaged in and something that I'm having a problem with. It could even be an area of addiction. It could be an area of something that's really controlling my life. I don't have to be completely 100% free from the addiction at this point. It's just truth. It's just putting it out there and saying, God, I struggle with this. This is hard for me. I know this is wrong even. All right? Sometimes it could be ignorant, and the Lord could show you, you know, maybe you should stop watching this. And, oh, okay, yeah, connect the dots, and that makes sense. And all of a sudden, I'm not thinking along those lines, and I don't have the fear anymore. Sometimes it can be known stuff, too, where the Scripture says, make straight paths for your feet, so that that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. And you're saying, Lord, I need to know how to get victory in an area. I know I need to not make provision for my flesh in this area. Show me what that looks like. Show me that path, okay? I'm in progress of overcoming something by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I haven't completely overcome it yet. I'm just being truthful about it. I'm just putting it out there. I'm doing this for my conscience sake. I'm doing this because I'm about to resist, and I want a clear conscience. I might not even, like I said, I might not even be free from that thing, but I've acknowledged it before God. I've prayed about it. I've put it in his hands and saying, all right, here we go, Lord. I just want a straight path. Help me, grace me. I'm acknowledging you with it. That's being truthful, girding your waist with truth in this context of preparation. Again, we said last week, you could take any one of these pieces of armor and go for 10 weeks on it and go around the clock and teach a bunch of different angles on it. We're teaching it this angle intentionally for this two-part series. So it's the waist of truth, where we're being truthful with God, we're being honest about things in our life, getting our heart clear before him, asking for wisdom and asking for his guidance. The other thing is the breastplate of righteousness. That's where I'm having to get my heart clear of guilt and shame. We were singing about it this morning, just, you know, I can't go into that battle with a guilty conscience. I can't try to resist the devil on top of a guilty, shameful conscience. I got to put on that breastplate of righteousness. I got to get my heart clear. I got to be able to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you that if I confess my sins, you're faithful and you're just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You're faithful to cleanse my conscience from those dead, shameful, guilty feeling works so that I can serve the living God. That's the work of putting on the breastplate of righteousness. My righteousness is a gift. It's by grace through faith. Zero works, zero boast. That breastplate is on me. I rule and reign. Those who've received the gift of righteousness shall rule and reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I'm putting on that gift of righteousness. I'm receiving the forgiveness and the cleansing of my sins by faith. And then also the gospel of peace. We talked about that, how the gospel of peace, yes, there's evangelism in it. Yes, there's a going out. Yes, there's telling people how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But there's another big truth in the gospel shoes that we have is the gospel is the power of God to salvation, but the gospel is the love of God. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so as we look at those gospel shoes, we realize that we're rooted and we're grounded in love. Love is everything. I'm putting on those shoes not just to tell people about Jesus. I'm putting those shoes on to remind myself of the love of God that I'm standing in. Remember the disciples we talked about last week, how they got offended and they wanted to call down fire? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And when we're talking about love, and we're talking about not wrestling against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, we got to be standing in the love of God. We got to be standing in the new commandment. A new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you. There is a refreshing, returning. This is where I'm going to let all my bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from me with all malice. Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I'm standing in love. I'm standing in the gospel of love, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I forgive what? Even as God in Christ has forgiven me, the gospel. I'm reminded that I got to forgive. I got to forgive. I'm about to do battle. I can't go into battle with a bitter heart. I can't resist the devil if I've got bitterness in my heart. I might go over there and try to call down fire and feel like I'm spiritual, but it won't be spiritual. I'm going to get tired and wear myself out. If we're going to do it right, we're going to go in there with a clear heart. So that was last week, preparing your heart for battle. So if you're kind of just catching this side of the message, you might want to listen to last week just to get the full picture. But that's kind of the flyover of it, okay? We're preparing our heart so that when I come over here to resist the devil, I come over here with a clear conscience. Yeah, I'm a working... I come over here with three things. I come over here with straight paths. In other words, I've lifted up that area I may even be struggling in and say, Lord, give me wisdom. I don't want to make provision for the flesh. Show me how to go forward in this, to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony. Help me, guide me. I'm going with wisdom for that straight path. And I've acknowledged it to God. I'm not hiding anything. All right? That's done. Also, I come over here with a clear conscience. My conscience isn't condemning me. Thank God it's been cleared by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Did what I couldn't do in myself. He washed me, cleansed me. And I come over here also then with a clear heart that's free from bitterness, wrath, and anger. Your heart comes over here like that, you are ready for battle. You are ready to have spiritual resistance, but you've prepared your heart for that. So now we're just going to look at the other side of it. So looking at the same verse on the other side, therefore submit to God, all right? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So then surrender to God, stand up to the devil, resist him. He will turn and run away from you. So this morning, we're going to look at part two, spiritual warfare, resisting the devil, okay? But as we're resisting the devil now, we're resisting from a place. We're resisting from a place of a clear heart. We're resisting from a place of having prepared our heart for the battle. I'm not angry, I'm not bitter, I'm not shameful, I'm not, you know, hiding anything. Everything's clear, open before God. And I'm ready to resist, I'm ready to do battle. So we're going to look at just a couple aspects of that. So now we're going to put on the rest of the armor, okay? As far as armor that is going to equip me to engage, that's going to equip me to resist, that's going to equip me to be able to stand up to something. The first piece of armor, well, we'll look at them kind of together at first. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So those three pieces of armor. So the first one we look at is the shield of faith, you know, where he says, in addition to these, he says, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts, the fiery arrows of the devil. 1 Timothy says it this way, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. One of the first things that we got to realize when it comes to engagement and beginning to fight that good fight and to resist is that we've got an admonition here to hold up the shield of faith. Now, I've been here, we've all been here, I know, where you're taking some incoming, all right? I could be incoming fear or bitterness or, you know, rejection, all this kind of different stuff that's coming at you, and you're just getting beaten down by it, and you're saying, why is God letting this happen, you know? And the bigger question is, why am I not holding up my shield of faith to quench these darts, to quench these fiery darts? In other words, the big aspect as far as resisting the devil when it comes to the shield of faith, it's exactly what 1 Timothy 6:12 says it is. It's a decision to fight. This is not a convenient decision. Let me just say that up front. Sometimes if you're a parent and your child needs to be disciplined, it's like, I have to do this, but I got to do this. I mean, it's not even fun. You know, it's not like you enjoy it. It's like, I got to do this. I got to put some guidelines and different things like that. But it's important. It's necessary and different things like that. It's kind of the same thing when it comes to resisting the devil. You're busy. You got stuff going on. And all of a sudden, I don't have time for this. I don't want to have to mess with this. And so just kind of pummel. And after a while, you're kind of getting beat down. There's a decision that we make when we say, okay, I'm going to hold up the shield of faith. That's a decision to fight. In other words, I'm not going to put up with this. That's what resist means. I can see it's coming in, and I can see it's wrong, and this is where we can choose. All right, am I going to order a pizza, or am I going to choose to fight? Am I going to choose to do something to distract me from this thing, or I say, no, this is wrong. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith today. It's a good fight, and I'm going to choose to resist. We're talking about spiritual warfare. You know, it's not just K, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be. If it was, you wouldn't have to hold up the shield of faith. You could just keep it right there and sing the song. But we're exhorted to hold up the shield of faith. We're exhorted to fight the good fight of faith. Well, there's an exhortation. We got something to do. Yeah, he knows it's not going to always be convenient or feel, but there is a decision. A decision to fight. And a decision to lay hold on eternal life. A lot of times when you're coming, and if I kind of use this side of the pulpit as a preparation time, and then this side of the pulpit as the engaging and the fighting time, I've done my heart business, right? I've done my stuff clear in my heart, being honest about stuff I still got to overcome in my life. I got to be, you know, just forgiving people, receiving forgiveness. And then I come on over to here. And even after you've done your heart work, as it were, to prepare your heart for battle, there is the shield of faith. And this is such a power, because the shield of faith just has so many different implications. There's a decision to fight. But in that decision to fight, there's a decision to lay hold on eternal life. In other words, I could come over here, and I might not be feeling it. I just got done forgiving everybody over there, but I may not be totally feeling it over here. Right? You know, we strap on ourselves a lot of emotional conditions that the Word of God doesn't strap on us. You won't see it in the Word. Forgive even as God has forgiven you, and you will know that because you will have a feeling of complete exhilaration. That we put that on there ourselves. That has nothing to do with faith. You'll notice it's not the shield of feelings. It's the shield of faith. So we don't have to pretend like we got to have our feelings perfectly in line. They don't have to be. It's the shield of faith. You see, all Satan is really after when it comes to the area of resisting here is your conscience, not your feelings. If he's got your conscience, he's neutralized you. If he only has your feelings, you're still a threat to him. Because you can still choose to act in faith above your feelings, knowing what the Word of God already says. You're getting ready to resist. And sometimes here's where we lay hold on eternal life. I may be over here struggling, saying, thank you, Lord, you've forgiven me, you've cleansed me, I'm getting ready to resist, and I'm going, I can't believe I did it again. You know, how in the world, I can't. And you can be struggling here. And this here too, this is where it's kind of a 1-2 punch. I'm laying hold on eternal life here as well too. I'm laying hold on what the Word of God says. And some of the songs we were singing this morning are so powerful to this end. Because it's exactly what you do at this inflection point, is you're getting ready to resist. And maybe your emotions aren't all there, but this is where I'm laying hold. This is where it can be powerful to sing, worship, songs, hymns, spiritual songs. Maybe I'm not feeling it. Maybe I'm just going, oh, I got to be the worst at this, but thank you, Lord. I know I'm forgiven, but there's that feeling. This is where you want to go. And, you know, this is a song that we sang that's more recent. When my shame hit the wayside, when my sin met the Most High, I've been washed from the inside. Hallelujah, I know it was the blood. It could have only been the blood. It's never been about performance or perfection or striving for acceptance. Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. It's never been about deserving or earning. It's a gift that's freely given. Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. Oh, does anybody want to be holy and righteous and purified and spotless? Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. Does anybody want to be worthy, forgiven, justified, really living? Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood. Could have only been the blood. Yeah. All right. Has my theology changed here? No. But I'm saying something I've already known and believed, and the Spirit bears witness with that it's true. And when the Spirit bears witness that it's true, there's a joy of the Lord that also bears witness that it's true. And then your feelings are like, hey, can we come along too? Yeah, come along. You be excited and be rejoicing as well too. Your feelings are just kind of follow anything, right? But it starts with faith. It starts with that lifting up, that holding up that shield of faith. Your emotions will come along late. But there's that you're bridging that gap as you're laying hold on eternal life. I could still be feeling a certain way. And this is where the Lord has exhorted me when I get in that inflection point where I'm not feeling. He said, Ed, don't try to be spiritual. Go where spiritual is. The word is living and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why you could come to church feeling a certain way and then leave another way, because you're going where believers are gathering, where the word of God is being preached. You're going where there's a ministry of the Spirit. We can do that in a public way. We can do that in a private way. You know, that's why it's good to have some of those songs, you know. You know the songs that push your buttons in a good way. And it's right here. It says, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, be filled with the Spirit. Lay hold on eternal life. Being filled with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is part of your battle. This is part of your warfare right here. Where you're in the Spirit, getting to a place. Your conscience is restored. It is right. I'm telling you what, you're ready to resist from a place of known righteousness where the Spirit is witnessing with your spirit in that gift of righteousness. So that's where we got to understand as far as that first aspect is in terms of the shield of faith, where we're putting that up, we're declaring it, and thank you, Lord, we're ready to go. So if you're not feeling emotionally, you did the heart work, but your feelings aren't in place, it's all right. You can still declare some things by faith, but you can also lay hold on eternal life, get filled with the Spirit and things that affirm your faith. Your emotions will come along because what you're believing is true. You're not just trying to achieve emotional inspiration and resist on the strength of emotional inspiration. No, this is not feelings. This is a shield of faith. You will get worn out if you're trying to maintain emotional inspiration. That is a counterfeit. If you feel like, I've got to always feel like I'm, that'll wear you out. When it's faith, regardless of how I feel, you won't get worn out. And you'll resist on the authority of the Word, because your authority isn't coming from your emotional inspiration. It's coming from the Word. And that's what Satan gets afraid of right there. And this isn't something you learn overnight. You learn this over time. It's like, okay, wait now. That's what that preacher was talking about on Sunday. And okay, well, there, here I am. All right, let's try this. You're going to just walk this stuff out. And after you get a few victories, it's like, yeah, this really works. Praise God. This is really true. Go back to the Word. Lay hold on eternal life. Build yourself up on the Word of God. But there's a way to resist that's powerful in the Spirit, but it's the shield of faith. The other aspect then, too, is we're talking about put on the salvation as your helmet, okay? Therefore, if any person is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old, previous, moral, and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like truly righteous and holy. Now, I mean, just the more you read and study the Word of God, it just reads unlike anything else that man could think of. He makes us new on the inside. He makes us a new creation. And then he tells us regularly to put on that new man, to be renewed in the spirit and the attitudes of our mind, of our thoughts. I've heard it this way, very profound, is just that we don't act like who we are. We act like who we think we are. That's why we need to continually remind ourselves who we are, so we can act like who we are as we put on that helmet of salvation. Have you ever forgotten the fact that you're a new creation since you've gotten saved? Yes, we all have. In your thoughts and minds, you have to remind yourself, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. In other words, I'm not resisting Satan as Ed House. I'm resisting Satan as a new creation child of God, created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm not resisting from my feelings. I'm resisting from my heart. I'm resisting from the inward man that God made me to be. I'm putting on salvation as my helmet. I am stirring up the fact that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. So, in other words, I am I'm putting on that identity, my identity in Christ. And so, praise God for that. But here's the other aspect, too. We're singing about all this stuff this morning, so the worship is exactly right in line with the message this morning. So the Apostle Paul says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Praise God, that's where Jesus is. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. That's our Lord. Something else happened. For he raised us from our dead. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. Now, we know that we're still here physically in the natural, but in terms of where he raised us up together with him, to sit together with him, it is speaking of the authority that he's given us in Christ. In other words, in the same way, well, let's keep reading one more passage along these lines. Yes, he has made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. If then you were raised with Christ, which we were, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So this is a powerful truth. Again, when we're putting on that helmet of salvation, we're putting on really two things. Again, we don't act like who we are. We act like who we think we are. We got to put this on. We're putting on our identity in Christ. We're reminding of ourselves of who we are in Christ. I was created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. It has nothing to do with my feelings. It's a spiritual reality. There's nothing I do to bring that spiritual reality into being. The only thing I could do was get born again. That's what brought that spiritual reality into being. I'm just acknowledging it. I'm just acknowledging what God has done on the inside of me. I'm putting on that new man. I'm being renewed in the spirit of my mind. But not only am I putting on that identity in Christ, but I'm also putting on the place that I have, the place that I am in Christ. I'm taking my place in Christ. So I'm putting on my identity in Christ, and I'm taking and putting on my place in Christ. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. That's an important thing to understand. Because when you're dealing with this stuff in your head, these are some stuff that you take by faith. I'm resisting as a new creation, and I'm resisting from heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has seated me there with him. Now, this is a good place to do a quick check and see if your conscience fights you over that. Really? What about this? What about that? The blood has cleansed me. I'm cleansed. My heart is clear. Yes. Forgiven. My heart is clear. I'm a child of God. This is who I am. I'm taking up the armor of God. I'm putting on that helmet of salvation. God saved me. He made me brand new. He raised me up together with him as part of my salvation. Made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus as part of my salvation. I take on the identity as a child of God, and I take my place as a child of God as I put on the helmet of salvation. That is something that is intentional. Now, let me just say something about this from a practical theological standpoint. These are things that are going to continue to grow in you more and more and more. Like, you could tell me, are you a new Christian? Do you know you're a new Christian? Yeah, I know I'm a new Christian. I know it more this year than I did last year. The theology of it doesn't change, but the reality of it in your own heart, in the sense of the reality of it, gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So the Bible calls spiritual growth. And so these things just become the reality of this. Man, it gets more true. It's not that it is more true. It just, as your mind is more renewed, it's more in agreement with your heart. And so the reality from that standpoint is stronger because you're believing it on a whole new level. And that belief can grow stronger and stronger and stronger. The same thing about who you are in Christ and your position in Christ. You know, the first time you could maybe have heard about, I'm a new Christian in Christ Jesus. Oh, that sounds pretty cool. You know, and the emotional inspiration of that could last for about 5 minutes and wear off. But when you begin to think about that and say, oh, no, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God. It's really who I am. And it's not just there to make me feel better about myself. It's there to give me the authority. It's there to give me the sense of position in Christ to be able to resist the devil. I can't resist from a flesh and blood mentality. I got to resist from a child of God mentality. This is an important part, putting on that helmet of salvation. And then the final piece of equipment that we want to look at is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praise God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Here's the example of Jesus. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Praise God. So what did Jesus do? He took the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and he resisted. He took that, the Word of God, and he made connection in that realm of the Spirit. And that's where you're speaking very specifically the Word of God as you're experiencing something. You know, there's two kind of applications that you get in the Word of God. There's an application of the Word of God that's the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's where I'm speaking to myself in songs and hymns and spirit. It's only by the blood. Does anybody want to be worthy? Does anybody want to be righteous? I am building myself up on my most holy faith. In that sense, I'm getting the Word of God in me. I'm getting strengthened. It's a shield. I'm strengthening the Word of God as a shield to strengthen my belief in my heart. But then there's another way that I use that Word of God as a sword, where I begin to specifically speak it and declare it, as Jesus did as he was meeting Satan. And you'll see that, you know, Satan says one thing, but the Word of God says another thing. And it's declaring what the Word of God says. And so, all right. So now we're getting to where I wanted to get to for the last week and a half here. Engaging the enemy. This is just, you know, building up to really the conflict in dealing with stuff. Once we got that on, shield of faith, in the place, know who I am, child of God, and I'm dealing with some stuff, there is going to be that engaging of the enemy. And the scripture gives us this example in 1 Peter. It says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. So even the scripture acknowledges, when I'm out here and I'm doing battle, there is a suffering involved in this. In other words, there is, it's like an assault. That's the way the scripture defines it in Hebrews chapter 4 regarding Jesus. He became like us in all points so he could experience the assaults of temptation, the assaults of the enemy. Those arrows and those roars are assaults. I mean, you're just going about your day. You're trying to do your own thing. You're trying to, you know, and you're getting assaulted with things. It could be assaulted from things that you hear, see, read, whatever. Life, you can experience that assault on your mind. And so there is a decision as we're going through this battle and to realize that as we're resisting, we're not resisting forever. We're suffering for a little while. There will be a little suffering. There will be some resisting. There will be resisting, and all of a sudden he comes back, resisting, coming back, different things like that. There could be wrestling. I wrestled when I was in junior high and high school. And I know what it's like where you're wrestling. It's like, you know, there's a top and the bottom position, and you're on top, and you're already thinking about your next move to try to get him on his back. And before you know it, he switched you, and you're on the bottom, and he's on top. It's like, what? How did this happen? You know? And then you're thinking, okay, I got to get back on top again. I got to get out of this. But that's wrestling. And that can be the way it is, too. Sometimes you're wrestling. It's yes. And then all of a sudden, you know, 5 minutes later, it's what? Okay. Now I'm off on some other rabbit trail here. I thought I was just, you know, I had the victory. Now I'm, you know, off on this rabbit trail. Because sometimes that's the way the enemy will work on you. If he can't get you on one thing, he'll try to get you on something else, you know. If he can't get you angry, he'll try to get you proud or get you tempted or, you know, something. He's doing this. And so as you're battling, there is a suffering when there's an attack because you're experiencing some things and you're endeavoring to resist different things like that. But the scripture says, stand firm against him, be strong against him. Because this is where the preparation work really begins to pay off, because there's a solid place in your heart when you begin to experience this. Because like I've said before, I've gotten to this place without being prepared, you know. You still have bitterness in your heart. You're still wanting to call down fire. You still have guilt and shame. And I haven't even talked to God about this issue of my life, and I'm trying to resist the devil. And it's like, why won't he go away? You know, well, I got to do some heart work, right? I got to get my heart in the right place to really resist. And so, you've done that, but now you got your heart right. And you've been serious about some things. And I'm telling you what, when you do that, it sounds different here. When your heart is right with God and you're in that place where, what did the verse scripture we read? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All that preparation work is a means to an end of helping you to get strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Your conscience isn't condemning you. Your heart is bitterness. If you got stuff that you're overcoming, but you know it's in the Lord's hands and he's showing you day by day how to kind of help you, man, you are ready for battle. Your conscience is in place. You can declare the word of God with a clear conscience, and that's what reaches into the spirit realm. That's what the enemy is afraid of. Taking your place as who you are as a child of God. You see where he says, stand firm against him. In other words, there's a decision to fight. There's a decision to raise the shield of faith, to be strong in your faith. And again, it can mean different things at different times, but it's where you're getting strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Sometimes you might experience an attack, and it's like you're going to go back to the throne of grace, get some things cleared up in your heart. And you already kind of know that you got a preview of coming attractions, what you're dealing with. And so you know some areas where you're going to get strong in the Lord, get strong in his word, get your heart clear, submit to God. All right, now I'm going to go out and resist the devil. In other words, when you're going out about your day, Satan doesn't say, at 2 p.m. this afternoon, I'm going to attack you and remind you of something that happened 10 years ago that's going to stir you up and make you really mad. He doesn't fight proper, all right? He is fighting, it's his warfare, right? So it's going to hit you out of the blue. And so sometimes when you are hit with some things, it's going to be like, okay, Lord, I'm submitting myself to you. I'm getting my heart clear on some things, because maybe he does hit you when you're in a weakened position. I'm going to get my heart clear. Going back, getting my heart. It's a signal. I'm getting my heart. I'm going to get strong in the Lord. And then as I'm coming back here, I will deal with some things. But I'm going to deal with it from a clear heart, clean heart, and then stand firm against him, strong in my faith. So there is an aspect, and I know temporary, as I'm engaging him. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is our warfare. This is engagement. This is what happens when we begin to engage the enemy. We are dealing with strongholds. We're dealing with arguments. We're dealing with high things. We're dealing with thoughts. We know God says this, but the thought says this. In other words, little God's word is a little thing down here, but this is what's true. This, you know this is true. You know this is right. I know the word of God says that, but this. And that's the conflict. That's the battle. That's the point of resistance. And when we do get our hearts right, when we do get our hearts clear, I'm telling you what, there is something that'll rise up on the inside of you, almost like an indignation. I wanted to bring this out because I saw this. All right, Lord of the Ring fans, you're going to like this one. You'll remember this one. But there's a scene in Lord of the Rings. You probably remember it was the Two Towers where Gandalf goes to confront Theoden, right? And we see that amazing deliverance and all that kind of stuff that happens between Gandalf and King Theoden. But there's something that happens in that movie, that plot, that powerfully illustrates this. Because before Gandalf ever gets to Theoden, the one controlling Theoden, Grima Wormtongue, for those of you who know, immediately he sees what's going on. And he immediately goes out to Gandalf. He feels threatened immediately by Gandalf. So before Gandalf can ever even get to King Theoden, he's got a conflict first with Grima Wormtongue. Here's the dialogue. So Grima says this: "Late is the hour in which this conjurer," he's referring to Gandalf, "late is the hour in which this conjurer chooses to appear. Lathspell, I name him. Ill news is an ill guest." Gandalf says, "Be silent. Keep your forked tongue behind your teeth. I did not pass through fire and death to bandy crooked words with a witless worm." There's an indignation there. And I'm just saying, when you get over here, after you've suffered in the flesh and ceased from sin and taken authority over things and gotten your heart right and dealt with some things, things that you've been holding in your hand and you've gotten clear before God to get a plan, to get a path, to get a straight path, to clear things out of your heart, and you get over here now, and then he'll come up with the same old thing? Man, there's an indignation that'll rise up on the inside of you too. So my goodness, I didn't clear my heart. Jesus didn't go to the cross and disarm you, power and principality. Jesus didn't raise me far above you. I haven't to be bantered around and to be bullied around by you. No, silence in the name of Jesus. Your power is broken. You have no authority here. And I love what happened too after that. I mean, right after he said that, it's like he was gone. I mean, Grima Wormtongue was like roadkill on the way to see Theoden. It was just like that. Some of the things you really struggle with here, when you get your heart right, you're going to be amazed. I've had this happen. I was just driving in the car and, some kind of attack, some kind of fiery dart. And I was like, it was familiar, but it was like, I was mad. What? You know, there's some things that you do in preparing your heart. I haven't suffered in the flesh. I haven't ceased from sin. I haven't, stood and believed the word of God to be pushed around by this in Jesus' name. No. There's something about when you get serious about the word of God and serious about your authority in Christ and serious about who you are in Christ and serious about that, you look different over here. You look very different. What if, now he called him, now of course Grima is, I love taking movie stuff that provides good allegory for principles that are already in the word. This happens to be a really good one for a lot of different reasons. But you'll notice that Grima says, "Late is the hour in which this conjurer chooses." In other words, you're too late. You're too late. Turn around. You're too late. How often does the enemy tell us that? You're too late. It's too late for you. You're too far gone. Nope. I've got master. You can't do this. I've been working here long enough. I'm deep. I'm trenched. This is too big for God. Too late. That's his first game. And after that, he says, how late? He says, lathspell literally means ill news. So now we're going to get an accusation. We're going to get a name-calling accusation. Lathspell, I name him. Oh, good job. He just named him. Lathspell, I name him. We'll see how long that sticks, but right. Lathspell, I name him. Ill news is an ill guest. Now, what if Gandalf would have decided to engage the argument? What if he would have said, "How can you call me Lathspell? How could you do that? You're the one who's been hovering over him for the last few years. Look at him. That's you. You talk about a picture of ill news. Come on. I'm here trying to do something good. I'm here trying to make a positive difference. And you're calling me last spell? How could you? When Satan engages an argument, or when we engage an argument, we engage an argument with the intent of winning the argument. Satan engages an argument to keep the argument going. That's all he cares. He just wants to keep it going. That's why it seems like, I can't get away from this narrative years and years. He just wants to keep it going. We're not called to argue with Satan. We're called to see through arguments and cast them down. There's a difference between that. I don't need the satisfaction of winning an argument. I recognize it's not God. It's exalting itself above the knowledge of God. I don't need that satisfaction. I only need the satisfaction of knowing it's not God. It is written, the wisdom that's from above is pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy and good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy. Does it sound like that? No? All right, it's coming down in Jesus' name. There is a humility in that. We as human beings love to argue. We love to fight. We love to be right. But God brings closure to things. But this, again, if I argue, I mean, what would have happened if Gandalf would have done that? Grima would have smiled really big and said another lie twice as big and bad. Didn't have to engage that one too. Okay. No. He didn't. I love what he said. I'm not going to bandy witless words. The word bandy simply means pointless arguing. That's a spiritual person. Keep your forked tongue behind your teeth. I haven't passed through hell and death to bandy crooked words with a witless worm. There is a certain indignation, all right? I'm not going to bandy. And since then, you know, the Lord is saying, I think, man, I'm in my head and I'm going, man, I'm bandying crooked words again. All right, I don't have to do this. No, that's above the knowledge of God. That's wrong. All right, I'm not, you know, I haven't been raised with Christ far above all powers and principalities to bandy witless words with a disarmed power and principality. I don't have to do that. I got to realize that. Praise God. There's a power. And this is where I just put that one scripture in there, James 3:17. James 3:17 is a good checkpoint scripture that I use a lot to challenge knowledge that comes and thoughts that come into my head to see if it's exalting itself above the knowledge of God. Because even there's, you know, Satan is subtle. And he tries to get in there some way. But there's something about the wisdom that's from above. That checklist is a very powerful way to begin to declare it. Now, I like... So if I'm dealing with that, for example, if I got something like that and I sense it's wrong, I'm not going to engage the argument, as it were. I'm going to cast down the argument with the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. He cast down Satan's arguments with the Word of God. He didn't engage in a back and forth bantering. It was an authoritative casting down. We're talking about engaging the enemy, resisting the devil. I know what the Word of God says. It is written. And as we're doing that, you experience there's two things that happen when you're declaring that. Power, and there's a strengthening for you, but there's a repelling effect that it has against the enemy. This is the way Paul put it. This is our last scripture this morning. It says, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of knowledge in every place. Our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance rising to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. Isn't that interesting? The Apostle Paul noticed that. He'd get two reactions, same word, same truth. And when you're resisting the devil, it has the same effect. The words, when you begin to read, only by the blood, does anybody want to be holy? Does anybody want to be righteous? truly forgiven, justified, really living. I know it was the blood. That's perfume to me. That's repellent to him. It's amazing how the same spiritual truth can have a dual effect simultaneously. And that's what resisting, in essence, does. You're building, you're declaring something you know is true, taking authority in a way that builds you up, in a way that repels him, that causes him to turn and flee from you. And that's, and it is. It's kind of like we'll do in the summertime. We put our off repellent on us. It has something that's just, the bugs don't want anything to do with it. That's the way we are when we begin to be full of the Spirit of God, the Word of God. We have that authority that comes from the Word of God. He's not resisting us, me as a person. It's the power of the Word. It's the power of the Spirit. So there's a putting on the armor of God. There's a preparing of our heart. There's a being intentional about stuff that we're saying, okay, Lord, you know, I'm a work in progress again, and this is stuff where I'm, you know, I'm being honest with God. And I'm telling you, sometimes I've stayed here. God has called me to this place sometimes of just preparing my heart, and it's beautiful. I know we're kind of compartmentalizing it like, but in reality, what happens, there's a preparation in your heart, and you may go and resist some things, but there's a continual preparation of your heart then to resist other things, and a continual preparation in your heart to resist other things. But this is where your personal relationship with Jesus is personal, and you begin to realize, okay, the Lord's just saying, take care of that. Take care of that business. But there's a beautiful pattern that we see in the Scripture. And the cool thing about this is, it's not just that I get victory over the devil. I get to know God here. And I love God here. And I get to experience his faithfulness here to me. And his goodness to me. And fellowshipping with him. And that's what it's all about, is my relationship with God. But that power to resist starts with that beautiful relationship with God. And then there's an engaging of the enemy. Then my heart's right. And then the enemy looks different over here. When you've passed through fire and death in some certain ways, he looks different over here. Over here. When I've taken my place in Christ, not just who I am, not just who I think I am, but putting on that new man and then being who I am in him. Praise God. Things look different. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you have given us the grace, the strength, the full armor of God to be able to overcome. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, by the armor of God, Father, we just give you thanks, Lord, that you've provided this for us, that we don't have to struggle in the flesh, but we have powerful weapons in you that are mighty in God for pulling down these strongholds. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now. I want to prepare my heart. I want to be truthful with you. I want to close all the open windows. I know you're merciful. I don't have to be afraid. Show me the straight path of freedom, of deliverance. I need your grace. I need your strength to be free. And I thank you, Father, that my conscience is clear because of Jesus. It's a gift of God. And I receive that cleansing as a free gift. And by faith, Lord, I forgive, even as you've forgiven me. I let all bitterness, I let all hatred and anger out of me in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for a clear heart. Show me now, step by step, as I engage the adversary, I will take my place. I will remember who I am. And with a clear heart, I will declare what is written. I will see through arguments and cast them down. And I will go forward victorious in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. You know, I know that this kind of gets into some nuanced stuff, and we're all at different places in our walk with the Lord and whatnot, but I wanted to introduce you just to kind of the idea of spiritual warfare and just some of these different aspects. And, you know, it's something that, like we said before, you're going to grow and develop in, you know, your Christian walk. So this is stuff that you're going to continue to get a better and a clearer understanding of. But you are blessed. You've been given everything that you need, but you have that position. I just want to close with this. You know, there is an ugly form of I'm above you.
And it's a human arrogance, and it's a condescending thing, and we know that it's wrong and evil. But there is an I'm above you as it relates to the spiritual things. That's not rooted in an arrogance and an insecurity. It's rooted in a spiritual reality that you've been raised powers and principalities. And you say it from a place, not of arrogance or insecurity, but you say it from a place of truth. And it rings true in your spirit. You get a revelation that you're above those things that have been trying to harass you. By the Spirit, you get a revelation of that. I'm telling you what, these are things that you will grow in, that'll become more real to you, and that you will continue to overcome. Praise God in every area.